Well, we're in the season of Advent. You've caught that yet? It's a time, the idea of Advent is a time on the liturgical calendar in which we anticipate that first coming of Christ when he came down on that famous Christmas morn. It's Christmas time. And this year, of course, we're doing these candles because I thought it would be a good way for us to just focus our hearts on the coming of Christ, focus our hearts on the first birth when he came, and really celebrate the real reason for Christmas, right? We say that all the time, yet we leave on Monday and we think it's all about what we can get. It's all about what we can give, and rather than focus our hearts on Christ. So that's why we're doing this. I think we need this every Sunday in the month of September, because Monday through Saturday, we're bombarded with the false idea of what Christmas is about. The retailers are trying to convince us, and they do quite well at it, that Christmas is about stuff. Stuff and more stuff. So that's why we're taking it slowly. Each of these candles have different representations depending on what branch of Protestantism or Christendom you're in. But for us, we've chosen that the first candle represents the hope that came when Christ came. There was hope with Jesus coming in that lowly stable. Matthew says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21 of Jesus, "In his name, Gentiles will hope." Today, we focus our attention to the second candle, if you want to put it that way, that accompanied his coming, and that is peace. Peace. Peace is definitely one of those words, I think, that comes to mind when we think about Christmas, right? You know, you get those letters that go on the wall, live, laugh, love. Well, at Christmas time, peace is usually one of those letters that people have. We think of peace. Many of the songs we sing at Christmas time focus on peace. "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day" is about peace. "I Came Upon a Midnight Clear," "Good Christian Men Rejoice." All of those focus on peace. And not only Christmas songs that are traditional hymns, but even modern Christmas songs that have nothing to do about Jesus even focus on peace. One of my favorite Christmas time songs at the beginning of Christmas season, and probably the most hated by me by the end of Christmas season, because we hear it so much through this time, is John Lennon's Happy Xmas song. You know, that war is over. It's just got that nice feel to it, to me. And I, by the way, can I just say this real quick? I'm just going to, I told myself not to say it, but I got to say it. Xmas, the X, I'm going to teach you Greek today. X means Christ, believe it or not, in Greek. The letter X in Greek manuscripts means Christ. So if someone says you're taking Christ out of Christmas, say, no, they haven't. He's still there. Because in a Greek manuscript, it would say Xmas. So you can use that sometime. There you go. It's a hobby whore. It just gets at me. So anyway, back to John Lennon's song. So John Lennon's song, he wrote it in 61 or 62, before the Vietnam War was over. And he wrote it trying to say, well, if we want real Christmas, we need peace. Because the war didn't end until 65. He wanted to hear peace. He wanted to see peace. He wanted world peace. And if we're going to have a real Christmas in that song, then we're going to have a time of peace. Because our world wants peace. I meant 65. He caught me. Thanks. 75. I think it was written in 71. Mixed up my decades or whatever. Everyone in this world wants peace. Many of you voted for a presidential candidate that you thought would bring peace within our borders. Many of you voted for a presidential candidate that you thought would help bring world peace. We all want peace. And regardless of your views on national peace or global peace, almost every person I know wants personal peace. Almost every person that I know wants to be at ease. And they go at great lengths to getting at ease, right? They go at great lengths to try to get personal peace. For some, that means that they work really, really hard most of their life anticipating what they think will be the golden years where they can relax and retire and finally have peace. Others of us, we find a hobby that brings us peace. I was just reading an article that people today vacation simply for wellness reasons. They don't go on vacation and go crazy like my parents would. Wake up at 5, don't want to miss a day, go do something, come back at 11, come back at 5. But now people vacation for the means of just getting peace in their life and wellness. We all want peace. But unfortunately, peace is kind of like water. It seems the more you try to grasp at it and the harder you try to get a hold of it, it falls and slips through your fingers. As we go through this Christmas season, I want you to realize this, that when Jesus was born in that dirty stable, and when he was placed in that manger, that feeding trough for animals, the world now was poised to experience peace like it never had before. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 2. I want to look at verse 14. We're just going to spend the whole morning on one verse. Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. But I'll start reading at verse 10, just to give a little bit of a context. Verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And behold, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" We can thank a Charlie Brown Christmas that now, when people think of the real meaning of Christmas, this is one of the texts that they go to, Luke chapter 2. Now, of course, we're going to focus specifically on verse 14, that one little verse, because you remember the scene of what's going on here, right? In Luke chapter 2, that the shepherds are in their hills of Judea. They're sitting around. It's probably a pretty dark sky at this point. The stars are probably crystal clear. It's pretty calm. And this angel appears in verse number 10, and he says to them, "Fear not," because they would be afraid. Wouldn't you be afraid if that was taking place? And then all of a sudden, a multitude comes in verse 13, praising God and saying in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest." They are coming and proclaiming the good news of Christ's birth. And one of the things that they mention in verse 14, part of the message, is peace. "And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Isaiah chapter 9, another familiar Christmas text, says this. Listen to the verses 6 and 7. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." And here, at Jesus' birth, we have angels proclaiming peace. This child that was born on Christmas Day brings what every person in the world wants: peace. We all want peace. I won't ask because nobody would answer, maybe like 5 of you, but if I said, "Would you want peace?" you would say, "You know, actually, if I sat down and thought about it, I want peace." Our world is crying for peace. Americans alone, 22% of Americans are on mental drugs to help get them peace. Because we want peace. Especially during the holiday season, right? I mean, some of you thrive off the chaos of Christmas season. I'd rather chew on glass. I don't like it. I don't like being out there and trying to find my way to the store and all that. But some of you love that. But during this time especially, don't we want peace? Don't we want some quiet? Well, here in Luke chapter 2, the angels tell these shepherds, on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Yet here we are, 2,000 years later. Where's the peace? Where's the peace? They promise peace. On earth, peace. Yet peace seems to still evade us, doesn't it? Were they wrong? Were they delusional? Did they miss something here? Did Luke record this wrong? Was it supposed to be a different word than peace that they talk about here? Because it seems like peace is not really part of this world. Well, look back at the verse. I'm going to ask two questions and hopefully answer them this morning. That's my alliterated outline. Two questions, okay? It's a joke. Notice in verse 14, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. As I ask and answer these two questions, we're going to focus on the peace that we should be reminded of every Christmas season. And the first question I want you to see in verse 14 is, who does Christmas signify peace for? I know that's bad English, but you get the point. Who is it? Who should look at Christmas and think, this is a time of peace. This is a time when I'm reminded that peace came into this world. Because notice in the verse that peace is not promised to everyone in this verse. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, if you're using a Pew Bible, which is a New King James Version, or you're using an Old King James Version, what you have there is a bit different than what I read. If you are listening to Charlie Brown Christmas, Linus says something a little bit differently than what I have here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. But most modern translations have something very similar to what I read. And on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. They might have the word good pleasure or favor. You see, that word, pleased, in most modern translations understand it, is not talking about what Jesus brings, but the type of person that experiences peace. It is peace among those, and what type of person is that? Those with whom he is pleased. He's not bringing peace and good pleasure. Rather, he's bringing peace, and he's bringing it to those whom he has good pleasure in. That's the idea of the verse. The peace that is promised by these angels, the peace that Christmas signifies, this peace is not experienced by everyone. Look at the verse. Among those, he says, with whom he is pleased. And of course, the he there is God, beginning of the verse. Glory to God in the highest. That's the he. With whom he, that is God, is pleased. So who does Christmas signify peace for? Well, according to the angels, it is those, by the way, the angels who were sent by God, the angels who delivered this message on behalf of God, they say it is for those with whom God is pleased, with whom he finds pleasure or favor in. And despite what we commonly hear today, God is not pleased with everybody. He is not pleased with everybody. I mean, that might sound harsh, but think about it, right? If God was pleased with anyone and everyone, then why should we share the good news? Why would we do that? That's not good news if God's pleased with everybody. I'd be out of a job. I mean, why would I tell people to repent and have faith in Jesus Christ if God was pleased with them? But you look at this verse. The peace that is promised, and on earth, peace among those with whom he's pleased, that peace is an exclusive experience. And those who experience that peace are those who could say, God looks and is pleased with. Now, this is interesting here. Because if I'm reading my Bible correctly, it seems that we're all born into this world, not in a state of God's favor, right? Not in a state of God's pleasure, but in a state of his wrath upon us. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12 says this, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. So then it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, before that, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, of which we all are partakers of, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, because none of us is righteous and no one understands or seeks after God. So no person born into this world today is born into a state of God's favor or pleasure. And yet you have the angels saying in verse 14, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. He brings peace to those who are of God's good pleasure. I mean, how can that be good news in verse 14? If no one's born into this world under God's good pleasure. Let me illustrate it this way. If you're a homeowner, you probably can say yes to this. You ever done a fixer-upper in your home? You ever fix something? Some of you apparently too many times by that response. Or you refurbish things. I'm not very talented in that world, but the one thing I can attribute to my handiwork was when I was in high school, I finally got my own room. My brother finally moved out to my praise, and I wanted a desk, because I was a nerd, I wanted a desk to study at, and so I went upstairs in my attic, which is kind of an old attic, and, you know, you pull down and go up the ladder, and it's dusty and dirty, and there's this desk there that's just covered in dust, it's dirty, it's ugly, it's just nasty, and I went back down and asked my parents, do you mind if I take that desk? Yeah, sure, whatever. And so I spent the next week taking that down, cleaning it off, stripping it, staining it, protecting it, getting it painted exactly the way I wanted, matched it exactly how I wanted. They've since changed the color, but I'm not going to hold that against them. But now, and I put it up in my room, and it just, as I did that, there was this sense where I sat back, looked at what I had accomplished, and it brought me great joy. Every time I sat at that desk, I was reminded of what I had done in that desk. And that is what God does. You're right. None of us are born in God's good pleasure. None of us are righteous. Yet God does his work in us to change us so that he can look back and take pleasure in what he's done. He takes a people who are sinful and rebellious, who are stained and dirty because of our sin, and he washes us. He makes us new creations, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. He conforms us to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, and he sits back and takes pleasure in the work that he has done. Only those whom God has changed are those with whom he's pleased. Now, you might be sitting there this morning thinking, okay, that's nice and all, yet how can I be a recipient of his good pleasure? How can I be one that he refurbishes, if I could use that phrase. How can I go from deserving his wrath to taking on his favor? It's quite simple, and God made it very clear in the Bible. Because our sin rightly deserves his wrath, we must repent. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. A word, repent, that means to turn away from. To turn away from our sin, to turn away from our self-sufficiency, and we admit our sin to God, hate what it does to him, turn from it, and as we turn from our sin, we turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ, and embrace the salvation only found in him, believing that he is the only one who can make us clean from our sin, that he died the death we deserve when he died on that cross. We just need to trust him. On earth, they proclaim peace. But who's that peace for? Among those with whom he is pleased. Yes, Christmas signifies peace, but only for those who have been recipients of his work. That's the first question. The second question I want to ask and answer this morning is this: why does Christmas signify peace for them? Why does Christmas signify peace then? Because the world is still chaotic, is it not? Okay, just open up the news and you'll see that there is still chaos in this world. So why does Christmas signify peace for them? Now, before I even answer that, I want us to be honest, especially those of us who proclaim to be followers of Jesus Christ, that peace, even for us, at times, seems like a foreign concept, right? Life seems so chaotic that we even seem to barely ever think of peace as we think of Christmas or any time, for that matter. I mean, we nod our heads in agreement that Christians have peace, but it seems like we live in such a way that that's not the case at all. Lives that seem to be more characterized by chaos than peace. So let's get back to the basics here. That's what we're going to do this morning. Because I would argue that what I'm going to cover in this little brief few minutes is vital to live in peace every day, to remind yourself of these truths, which are so basic, are vital to everyday living, even in peace. Why does Christmas signify peace for those who are of God's good pleasure? Two reasons. First, Christ reconciled God and man. Unless you understand his death, you will fail to recognize the significance of his birth. Because when Christ came the one who would reconcile God and man, and it was accomplished through his death. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And through him, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or on earth. Notice this, making peace. And how does he accomplish peace? By the blood of his cross. Signified, okay, Christmas signifies peace because 33 years later, this baby's blood, no longer a baby, but a man, would be spilt to guarantee salvation all who would repent and place their faith in Christ. Remember how I described earlier that we're all born in wrath? We're all born under God's wrath, deserving God's wrath. We weren't looked at as pleasurable. Well, Christ came to fix that. That's what he came for. To bring peace, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17. And he came and preached peace, that's Christ, to you who are afar off. And peace to those who are near. Guess who we preach to peace to? If it's those who are far off, which would be Gentiles in the context, and those who are near, which are Jews, all he came to preach peace to. Every single person. And that peace is that man could be saved. Man could be reconciled to God. That is the peace that Christmas signifies, a peace with God. You know, people are seeking for peace. talked about this, but unfortunately, they're seeking for it in all the wrong places. I personally think that's part of Satan's strategy. I really do. Because if we could just focus on well-being, world peace, we'll miss the most important piece of peace, which is peace with God. I didn't have that written down. It came to my mind. Now I just ruined it by saying that. But really, if we can just be happy with wellness, if we can just be happy with inner lack of family conflict, if we can just be happy with, you know, that nations all get along, then we will not seek the real peace. We will not seek the peace we definitely need. If we spend all our energy looking for the lesser peace than the greater peace, then we'll miss out. Christmas signifies peace with God. I mean, Satan is the master magician. He's going to get us distracted with gimmicks to keep us from seeing what's really going on. When Jesus came, he came to die. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. You know that verse? He was crushed for our iniquities. We usually say this stuff, you know, in April when we get ready for Good Friday. But listen to the passage. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. As we open our presents on Christmas morning, we cannot forget the true present, the gift of his son, who reconciled us to God. Why does Christmas signify peace for those who are of his good pleasure? Because first, Christ reconciled God to man. Secondly, because believers, those who are of his good pleasure, have assurance of that reconciliation. That's why we can have peace. For us as believers this morning, Christmas brings peace, not only because we know that Christ came to reconcile God and man, but listen, because it's not just a fact statement for us. It's personal. He came to reconcile God with me. And reconcile me with God. There's an assurance here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we're saved, if we are justified, which means that you've been declared righteous before God, your sins are forgiven. If that is the case, then you, every Christmas, can be reminded that you are at peace with God. No matter what. We are his children. No matter what. That he finds pleasure in his children because of the work that he has done. You've heard it before that Christmas time is not only the happiest time of the year for some, but do you know that this is also the saddest? Many don't look forward to the holidays. And it's understandable. And if that's you this morning, and you're a genuine follower of Jesus Christ, let me remind you of this truth. That although this time of year creates for you a new meaning to the word miss, you have a loving Father. You've been reconciled to God. And let this season remind you of peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace that's only possible through the gift of his son, the one who came that first Christmas morning. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. You know, Christmas time is truly a time which we should be reminded of peace. That baby came with a distinct mission, to reconcile God and man through his death on the cross. But this peace just to remind you, was not for everyone. It was not for everyone, verse 14. On earth, peace, here it is, among those with whom he is pleased. So the question for you this morning is God pleased with me? Am I one of those? Am I a recipient of his good pleasure so that I can say that this time truly represents peace for me? And if not, let me encourage you to talk with me at the end of the service. I'll be back by the back door there. Because I want us all to look at this time and anticipate this time as a season when we're reminded of our peace with God. Let's pray. The angels proclaim glory to God. And Luke 2, and Father, we proclaim glory to you today. Glory to you for this promised Messiah who came, who died, and through his blood reconciled a lost people, sinners, worthy only of wrath to you. And Father, if there's someone this morning who has not been reconciled to you because of their sin, they have not placed their faith and trust in you, they have not repented of their sin, Father, awaken them to this truth. May it be a peace that they've experienced this season they've never, ever experienced because of a peace that can be found with God through Christ. And Father, for those of us who do know you, I ask, Lord, that we would be reminded of peace through the chaos we live in right now. That we would focus our hearts on the peace that is signified through Christmas. That we would rejoice that we are at peace with you. May you be praised, may you be glorified. This we ask in your precious Son's name. Amen.